Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It's a wonderful Wednesday evening in Central Kentucky where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting from for episode number 386 of the Star Chamber Show. Thanks again to Far Cry for our intro music, great band, with of course their fearless leader and guitarist Pete Fry. And tonight, joining me at co-host, tonight is a wonderful, the vivacious, and back louder than ever this week, Holly Phillippe. Hey, Holly, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. Hello, hello.
She's feeling better this week, folks. So get ready because she's got more energy. She's getting loud again. She's getting belligerent again. So, yes, it could be exciting. We love it. And we love seeing Holly get better after some of her periodic bouts of illness. And this is one of the better weeks. So, yes, be ready. And, yes, our brace for a great guest tonight. We can't wait because it's a debut as a featured guest coming up tonight who we'll be introducing to you just shortly. But first, we do have a few updates. Of course, the Star Chamber Show is affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention and we do have some cool stuff to tell you about. And, yeah, there's a bunch of really good announcements coming in the next few days. So you're going to want to keep a look on this on the Imaginarium site. We did add one new spotlighted guest, and, of course, that's author and editor H. David Blaylock, who has been to Imaginarium in the past, has missed the past couple of years, but we are thrilled that he will be coming back and joining us. He is just a true sage of when it comes to both writing and of course, the editor's perspective. He has been writing speculative fiction for over 50 years with everything from novels, novellas, short stories, articles, reviews, online and print, and he's now currently the editor of Paranormal Magazine from Hereath Publishing, and we are really excited to have David come back, and we are featuring him as a spotlighted guest. Yeah, definitely someone you want to pick their brain when it comes to either the craft of writing or as an editor, both in editing books and, of course, putting together magazines and anthologies. Just a superb, superb talent, and definitely is going to be a huge addition to programming. And we also welcomed a brand new sponsor. We're really excited. They attended for the first time last year simply as an official selection in the film festival, and they liked it so much they came back this year as a sponsor. So that would be Bad Image Productions, and they are awesome. They won the Media Innovator Award for Best Up-and-Coming Film Production Company in 2022 in the Midwest region from Corporate Vision Magazine. They're an independent production company founded by Adam Sargent, specializing in feature film production, and they produce the feature films The Devil's Instrument and Darkness Hunting, and they also own the Bad Image blog for all things independent filmmaking. But they are just absolutely fantastic folks. Thrilled to have them board with us as a full sponsor, and you can check their site out at badimageproductions.com. Again, it's badimageproductions.com. And then late this afternoon, we were able to take this live before tonight's show, and we're really excited about this one. But, yes, we have for you the awards banquet tickets are now available. And, of course, there's a very limited amount of those. And let's see, it is an additional fee. It went up just a little bit because, of course, all the good inflation, food costs, and all that good stuff. But it is definitely going to be a really, really amazing awards banquet because we're expanding the awards. We're expanding the Film Festival Awards, the Imagine Awards, And, of course, we always have a great night of live entertainment, so you definitely want to catch that for sure. That's going to be really really an amazing evening. And, yeah, you definitely don't want to miss that. But those are available on the site and so right now. And so you can get those at enterTheImaginarium.com. So, yes, it's some good word. Do you want to give a little few more details on that banquet, Holly?
Well, I can tell you about the banquet, and I could also tell you I have actually added some workshops and panels already. They're not up on the site. So those of you that listen to the podcast get a sneak preview. We're going to add a panel led up by the wonderful Barbara Evers that's called Dr. I'm going to butcher this name. I know the name, but my brain is not going to let me say it. Morale. I can never say that name. Laboratory. You know who I'm talking about, Steve. The one that had, you remember the movie that Val Kilmer played in? And he had the island where he had, like, the animals that were DNA.
Yeah, the island of Dr. Moreau, yes.
Moreau, yes. Well, it's taken that idea, Dr. Moreau's laboratory, using an animal mashup card deck. Panelists are presented with two or three or four animals to mash up. They are given a few minutes to create a name for the animal, determine the characteristics, appearance, habitat, food, etc. And then these descriptions are briefly written and handed to a moderator who needs to read them out anonymously. The audience votes on their favorites, run a few rounds, keep score, and the winner gets bragging rights.
Very nice.
So I think that sounds fun. That'll be an evening panel, just something neat, creative, fun. You know, I know the panelists will have a lot of fun on that one. I know they will. I might even try to sneak in on that one.
Well,
but yeah,
there's going to be
pulled up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's going to be a lot of very interesting panels coming up, just listening to some of the stuff that you've been talking about.
Yes, 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 there is. And my computer, for whatever reason, Mr. Zimmer, has decided it's going to not let me on the internet right now, so I've got to work on this issue. So if you would like to tell the menu of the awards, that would be great, because I don't want to miss anything.
Well, my internet also went down, believe it or not.
Oh, so both of us are down.
Yep.
It's not just me. Gently, did you move that internet thing?
So
you
might want to go reset that.
Right there. It's right there.
Because you might have knocked something offline there, but you might need to get on, like, real quick here.
Okay.
Well, I'm okay.
Well, I'll go ahead and tell the regular menu. The regular menu is going to be Tuscan chicken and pasta, which is pasta, spinach, tomatoes, and grilled up chicken, all tossed in a creamy Tuscan sauce and topped with some cheese. And then we're going to have the tossed salad with ranch and balsamic dressings, warm rolls and butter, and then the alternating, you know, chocolate cake, carrot cake, and then the ice water, iced tea, and coffee. For the gluten-free option, it's exactly the same minus, you know, the pasta. They're going to use gluten-free pasta in place of the regular. Vegetarian option, same thing, just removing the chicken. So everybody be eating the same thing, just a little variation. And it sounds delicious to me. I think it sounds fabulous.
Yeah,
I've worked hard
fantastic.
On that to get it worked out to where we could keep the cost affordable. And it'd be something really, really good, you know, something different. And I said, this sounds wonderful. So, yeah. I hope you all enjoy it.
Definitely, definitely. And, yeah, we definitely want to welcome, everybody that's in the chat room tonight. It looks very busy, by the way, tonight. We have everything from, of course, award-winning filmmaker and author Amy Lee McCorkle in there. Of course, author and screenwriter Carol Pre-Flattish. I see our tonight's guest. I won't mention our guest just yet, but our guest is in the chat room right now. Nick of Prestonia, and then, of course, Sandy Lender. And welcome back, Tommy B. Smith. Yeah, definitely have missed you and hadn't seen you a little bit, but so glad that you're back. in the chat room. And yes, as you can guess, I did get my internet connection restored, so we're good. So yeah, I won't have to do all kinds of gymnastics in order to run the board tonight off the mobile phone. So I don't have to do one of those neat tricks tonight. At least I can use my regular setup tonight. So that's good news. And on that note, yeah, we'll bring you tonight's the folks that brought you tonight's show. And I'm very excited, of course, to always highlight the amazing Sandy Lender. And joining her tonight and bringing you the show is Ren Garcia. So, but first, we do have a new spot from Sandy to share with you tonight. So give it a listen. Here we go.
Do you want nightmares for the Halloween season? I got you, boo. Let the demons, poisonous Adras, monstrous Rifel, evil sorcerers, wicked dragons, and all manner of unsettling characters of the Choices series haunt you this October. But don't worry too much. The amazing Amanda Charisse is learning all she can to protect you from what lands on her balcony at night. Get your copy of Choices Meant for Gods from author Sandy Lender, available now everywhere fine books are sold.
Yes, it's always a good choice to pick up a Sandy Lender book. Can't go wrong, folks. You just can't go wrong. So now we're going to give you a little bit from Ren Garcia with the famous question that we always love to answer on the Star Chamber Show.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Indeed, Ren Garcia, we are weird enough for you, my dear.
Yes, Ren, we are indeed. So, yeah, hurry up and give us that final confirmation about coming to Imaginarium next year so we can share that good, long-awaited good news with everyone. So, yeah, don't wait, Ren. Give us that good news, man, because we are weird enough for you. So, and tonight, yeah, this is going to be fun, Holly, because tonight we're welcoming aboard someone that is very near and dear to us and near and dear to the convention and the Star Chamber show, but has never been featured as a guest before. But tonight, folks, yeah, we are bringing you someone who is an author, a poet, a screenwriter, and a podcaster. And last Imaginarium, this guest won the award for runner-up as Best Screenplay Short Format. And since then, that screenplay has gone on to be produced as a short film called Screenshots. Of course, screenplay also called Screenshots by Hallowed Hills Entertainment. And as of now, it's getting a bit of a following in the last few weeks on YouTube. It is now nearing the 10,000 view mark. And so, yes, we have something to celebrate tonight with our guest on for the very first time as a featured guest, the one, the only, Moon Dwan L. Hearn. Welcome to the show, Dwan. Your mic should be on.
See, the past that you have is to make me seem so much cooler than I actually am.
No, you're so much cooler than the whole intro.
Yeah, so we always have to give you a good intro. We got to always try to give you a good intro. So, yeah, hopefully it gave people a little information on all your spheres. But, yeah, great to have you as a featured guest tonight. And yeah, tell us, there are some folks, believe it or not, that may not have heard of you yet or encountered you yet out there. And so tell us a little bit about yourself to introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, I am Dwan L. Hearn. I go by the nickname Moon. I am, obviously, I'm a writer. I've been doing screenwriting for maybe about a year or so. Married, father of four insane children, but if you've met me, that shouldn't be a surprise. And that's pretty much the gist of me.
That's a lot. That's a lot contained. And you've been on a quite a roll recently, and we thought the timing would be perfect to have you on because at Showtime you had crossed the 9,500 view mark on screenshots and counting. I mean, it's going up every single day. So, I mean, I know it's going to cross 10,000 here in the next few days and then keep going, of course. But, yeah, that's a heck of a milestone, yeah, for your screenplay and short film with Hallowed Hills Entertainment.
It's insane, honestly, because this is what I keep telling everybody. This was a project that was never supposed to see the light of day. And the fact that it got written, that fact that it got produced, the fact that, you know, almost 10,000 views have accumulated, the channel's got, I forgot how many people have subscribed to the brand new channel. It's almost overwhelming, almost.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean,
we did get our producer to promise a pizza party if we make it to 10,000. So feel free to share that.
Share.
Yes.
There's just like five more views and we'll get a pizza party.
Yeah, five. Yeah, and that is definitely a worthy goal because everybody knows that I happen to have an affinity for pizza. I love pizza. So, yeah, let's get Moon over the 500 more views so they can get over the 10,000 mark. And maybe we could do it tonight. Who knows? All the Star Chamber show listeners can run out there and watch it like a few times. Get it over 10K. Get it over.
That would be great. I need like a sausage and pepperoni, something happening here.
Oh man, that sounds
good.
Never
go wrong with pizza. Never go wrong with pizza.
No. So I keep telling Holly.
Yeah.
I keep trying to convince her. I keep trying.
But you can't have it every day, you simmer.
I know. I've been good. I've been very Spartan lately, as a matter of fact. Most folks would be pretty impressed with my regimen lately. So
it's
been
cool.
Just been eating fairly
chicken
healthy.
And It's fine. We got it.
Oh, yeah. We can play around with it for sure. But wow, I mean, Holly and I, we saw it like, of course, the first day we got the link from I believe William Allen had sent us the link like immediately,
yeah.
And we saw it. We were like, wow, this is really good. And like I said, and judging by the comments, I mean, people really got into it. And Jason did a good enough job in your lead role that he really was everybody's rooting for him to get killed in the comments.
They really were. One of my favorite comments is like, I'm 4 minutes in and I really want this guy to die. Like
I saw that comment.
Like,
I saw that comment. That's what's one of the ones I came across. But yeah, folks really like it. The comments are really positive. I mean, on the YouTube thread, I was browsing through those about a day ago, and yeah, lots of folks really, really enjoyed it, and they got a lot of kudos on camera work and the acting and everything in general. I mean, I don't think I saw a negative comment. I don't think I saw one troll.
There's a few, no trolls, but there's a couple. I mean, there's one, and he's kind of like overly critical. But at the same time, you can't be a creative and not be open to criticism. As long as it's in good faith.
Of course not.
Most of it's been positive. There's been a couple of things. Everyone talks about the glasses in the kitchen scene. We had a little continuity.
Oh, yes.
That's a fun story.
Yes.
Because it's – okay, so I'll tell this story. I mean, I guess I'm always like cautious to tell stories, but I feel like I'm the guest. That's why they called me. So
that's the idea.
So Jason's wanted to do movies. I'm writing, and John had just recently bought a camera. So the three of us are like, okay, so we're really doing this. Let's figure this out. Now, me and Jason have been friends for a long time. Jason and John have been friends for a long time, but I never really knew John. So we wanted to know, how are the three of us going to work as a team? So the task was, Moon, write something. Just throw something together so we can film it. We'll get together for a weekend. We'll film it, figure out the editing, figure out all the things that go with making a film, and see how it works. It was a practice run. Screenshots is a practice run from jump. John just got the camera. It was Stephanie's first acting role. Jason's done some acting and stuff, and most of his music videos, which are fantastically done, are also very cinematic. So he's had the most experience out of anybody. Screenshots is like my second attempt at writing a screenplay. The first one was horrible. It was this whole thing was a practice run. And again, that's why I say it was never supposed to see the light of day, because we just wanted to see if we could work together, if I could write a script, if they could edit a film. And then I just kind of had like an extra some odd dollars and went ahead and said, you know what, I'll throw it in the Imaginarium just so I can see what the process is like of submitting something for when I write something serious. And then next thing you know, I'm a finalist. And the next thing you know, I'm being called up front. It's crazy.
No, well, hey, you got to get in the arena to have these things happen. And so, yeah, kudos to you for stepping forward. Yeah, good things can happen.
That's why it's been such a weird ride, and that's one of the reasons why it's been so weird, because it's like it was a practice run. And now we're sitting back looking at the next project, like what's supposed to be like the first real project. And we're like, this is what we did and what we've gotten from the practice run. Now the bar is set pretty high.
Well, I mean, you never know. And so, yeah, go ahead, Holly.
You also take that criticism that you've received and notes from friends or whatever, you know, fellow colleagues, peers, and you apply that to the next one. With every film, you learn something. I have yet to be on a film set that I have not learned something from, you know, whether it be
absolutely
behind the scenes or acting or writing. You learn something every film.
I've written short stories and stuff before, so writing screenplays was a brand new thing. Like I said, I wrote one. It was called Tips, and it was bad. And after I wrote it, I'm like, okay, so let me see what I can do better. And I read some books and I looked at some things. I had downloaded some scripts to use as reference points. Shout out to James Sabata, because James Sabata was like really, really helpful with like format and giving me very honest criticism, no matter what, positive and negative. You know, he's giving me like all the steps. So shout out to James Sabata for that. It's been an awesome friend and colleague. And so I put all that together and I applied all that stuff that I learned from Tips to Screenshots. Here we are.
Here we are. Yes. And
Sabata is the man. Love.
And I know you called it kind of a test product. Yeah, Sabata is just phenomenal. And I love the panel ideas that he and Holly discuss. They have they come up with the craziest stuff, and it's always amazing.
Ready
for this year.
Oh, I know. He runs some stuff by me sometimes. I'm just like, dude, that's weird. I love it. And he's always trying to get me to like sign up. He's like, sign up for panels so I can get you in on this. Sign up for panels so I can get in. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, you will. One day you will. We're watching. But I tell you, yeah, in addition to Sabata, though, I mean, you had a small team numbers-wise in this first test project, but had some really deep experience. I mean, not enough people, I think, know about John Mattingly, American Recording Company there in Louisville. But, you know, he's been known for a long time as a really superb producer, mixer, engineer, and songwriter. And he's worked in collaboration with Jason William Allen a lot. But, yeah, he's produced some stellar music videos. And I don't know how many, Holly, I'd have to go count them. But he has won multiple film festival awards in the music video category over the years. Because, I mean, like I said, go look at the stuff he makes. I mean, it is really top-tier stuff. And so when I knew that John was going to be in it, I mean, that was fantastic. And then, of course, Jason. I mean, Jason is very multifaceted, known very much for his art and for, you know, being a singer and songwriter. and having, you know, great bands like Poetry of the Dead. But he's also, a lot of people, you know, may not know, you know, as much of his acting side, and he's worked behind the scenes in lots of film productions and has a lot of knowledge in that area. So, I mean, so Jason brings a lot to the table. And then Stephanie Lanham, I was floored the other day, a couple weeks ago, I guess you had a brief call-in where you let us know that that was like her first major acting role. I was like, good job, yeah. Stephanie, because she really did a good job. And so, yeah, she's a multifaceted creative herself. But, yeah, just shined in the acting role. And so, I mean, yeah, you had a small but very multi-talented team around you. Every single one is a multi-talented creative. And so that was a good bunch.
I'm super thankful for all the people that I had with me. Not only did they, like, do a killer job. Because on set, I mean, I'm really just kind of there to interpret the script. That's really what I was there for, and help with sound. I held the mic. I did the back, you know. Because literally, just the four of us at Stephanie's place. Like, just the four of us on set. But, you know, I learned a lot from Jason and John, and Stephanie did a great job. She was trying to absorb everything. She really was, like, invested into the role, into the project. And so I'm super thankful for all the people that obviously worked on it. And not only that, for the faith and the trust that they had in me to be, like, the, you know, almost sole writer of our, you know, production thing going on. So
yeah.
I'm very thankful.
And now, Hallowed Hills Entertainment, do you know what's the story? Because this is, I think, the first project from Hallowed Hills? And
officially,
who are the principals in it? Are you one of the official members of it?
It's kind of hard. So we all kind of had our own little brands walking into this project. You know, John obviously had ARC. Hallowed Hills was mostly a Jason branding. And, of course, in the writing and getting into that with the podcasting stuff, I had Night Raven, and Night Raven was really focusing on the stuff that me and Jason were planning on doing together. So when we got together, we're like, listen, guys, we got like three brands. Do we need three brands, really?
Right.
So we kind of had a little powwow, and we've kind of compartmentalized what all the branding really does. The production stuff of, like, the actual productions, the ARC stuff, because John has the cameras, does the sound. That's the ARC side. Putting out the short films and stuff will be under the Hallowed Hills. If we do things more live, like something you and I had discussed before, if we get some of that kind of stuff off the ground, that will be under Night Raven.
Nice.
Oh,
and yes, we're very interested in that, by the way. That's the right thing to do. Yeah, because you don't want to have too much confusion on the branding side. And but yeah, I was just curious as to who all the principals were, because it is a new entertainment company. So I thought that was kind of a fun thing too. Yeah,
it's pretty much just us. It's the three to four of us.
Yeah, definitely. Holly,
how many parts?
No. You guys had not decided whether or not to enter your project in film festivals yet for official, like, juries and awards considerations. But yeah, I definitely want to be able to at least exhibit this next year, because yeah, this is a great story that of course came out of last year. So yeah, this past year I should say, but definitely need to exhibit this.
Because I'm telling you right now that with the response you're getting, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, right? And it hasn't been out long, and you're already up to almost 10,000, you know, and views, I mean. So that's amazing. I mean, that really
it's
is
over,
people.
Overwhelming positive response.
Yeah.
Jason was mad because this guy, like, this one project has more views now than every single one of his music videos.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You know,
like, I think his video with the most is like about 3,000, and it's like 8 years old. This has been up for about a month, and we're about to hit 10.
Yeah,
and I mean, some of his, like, born, his video Mourn is just, it's like an art film, but yet it's a music video.
Jason's music videos have always been super killer. I think they've all been shot by Herschel Zahn. And I mean, when you put a camera in Herschel's hands, I mean, magic happens automatic. That's instant.
Yeah, Herschel is amazing. Everything from just top tier camera work to superb Frank Sinatra style music reviews. The guy can do everything.
And he baits.
It's crazy.
Herschel baits.
Yes. He baits too.
And he baits. Holly, he does all those wonderful things, and he baits.
Holly just perked up. Yeah, Holly just perked up at that.
Yeah.
He paints. He does photography. He does all kinds of neat little things. Very talented.
No, bakes,
very
like
talented
breads and muffins and cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
You know, something with the cinnamon jack. I don't know.
He had a little wouldn't he get in like a little truck or something?
He went to some kind of fair or something,
I see.
Still does it. I don't know all the details on that one, but I mean, if you're not everyone that I've mentioned, people need to just go find them on all their socials and see all the incredible stuff that happens around me. And the beautiful thing is that it's all inspiring. It's inspired me to write in film, to actually say, hey, let's go make a thing and let's do the stuff. And I'm surrounded by incredibly talented, creative people who are open and welcoming. And I can't thank the people around me enough.
Yeah, it's not always the easiest thing to find in the creative world, because sometimes, you know, you run into different little cliques and territorial types, and you know, of course, there's always going to be egos in the art world. So how did you come to meet the folks that, you know, you're working with now that, you know, have a great chemistry and are, you know, very win-win sort of people? What was your path to connecting with everybody? You know, if you want to give us a little history.
Through most people that I've mentioned, I met through Jason. And ironically, Jason just happened to live two blocks from the gas station I worked at.
That's crazy.
Cool.
That's it. So Jason would come into the store every Sunday morning. Like, he'd have a show or practice on Saturdays. He'd come to the store on Sunday morning, and he was the dude with the long hair on Sunday mornings that came to the store. For a while, I found out he had some mutual friends of mine that did local music and stuff and did shows. And so we'd go to these mutual outings together, and we became friends since then.
Yeah, well, I knew you two were very tight. Yeah, I was interested as to how it all, but yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, but that seeing Jason,
that's literally it.
Long
haired dude
bought
coffee.
That's almost brings to mind, like, Holly, we could can almost envision like something like the movie Clerks, you know, with DeJuan Jason coming in.
Oh my gosh! Right? Oh man, that's hilarious.
I mean, we do have some future. We have a lot more film ideas. I mean, rather would not be in front of the camera. I'm more of a behind the scenes guy.
Well,
I mean, I can get somebody to stand in for me.
You could be Silent Bob.
I'd be like an off-screen character. I'd rather be like the voice, the one that's off-screen, just the voice in the background. I'll play that role. I have a face for radio. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. If you need a very mean, large nun, I'm your woman.
I'll see if I can squeeze that into
I could play a very large, mean nun. Very well.
Yeah, Amy McCorkle can vouch for that. She can't.
We have a future project. I don't think there's a space for a nun in that one, but we may have some stuff down the road for you.
Yeah.
I'm there.
We may have some stuff down the road.
Tell me whenever.
We have this one idea. I'll share it. He'll be mad. I don't care. So we want people to come to this channel, and we're like, okay, so we have this project and we have the follow-up project. called Companion that we're going to, that we're in the start, the beginnings of. But then we're like, well, what else are we going to do on the channel? Like, we have this YouTube channel, and we don't want to put out one project and have everyone forget about us. So we're thinking about doing a series of shorts. And the way I have this idea at first will be, it'll start off like a news broadcast, and it'll be someone telling a crazy story about something that happened, and then do like a 5 or 10 minute little short about the situation we just discussed in the beginning of the news broadcast.
Very cool. That'd be a good web series concept.
He's got some character ideas he wants to play with. So I'm like, all right, well, we need like a consistent format that people can rely on that will, you know, be some consistency that people can vouch for. And so we thought about that, and we haven't had a sit-down meeting about that one yet, but we discussed it over the phone. Like I said, Jason wouldn't want me to talk about it, but I'm going to.
First, you got to see if they deliver on the pizza party. Then if you see if they were sincere
That's
about that,
true.
You'll know that. Then you'll know that they're worthy of continuing to work with.
So, I need my pizza party.
Right.
You don't get a script until I get my pizza party. Which, of course, they're going to give me the pizza party like in a week or two. They're going to be like, all right, now where's our script? I'm like, now hold on. Hold on. Scripts take a little bit longer to write than pizza takes to get delivered.
And not crappy
right.
pizza, not greasy pizza. You want good pizza.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
good,
I'm a South Bend little kid. I'll take some okay pizza, especially if I'm not paying for it. It's fine.
Oh, me too.
So,
yeah, free pizza takes even
better. Let me ask you, what's your favorite toppings? What is your ultimate pizza? And is it a New York style or is it a deep dish?
Okay, so I'm not going to fight the people who say that deep dish pizza is not a real pizza. I'm not going to fight them. I do like a thin New York style pizza. You can't go wrong with a basic pepperoni. I make a smothered chicken dish, right, that consists of chicken, mushrooms, onions, and green peppers. And so honestly, that's my favorite pizza, is a pizza with chicken, onions, green peppers, and mushrooms.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Yeah, we.
Sounds good.
I'm
real good.
I'm with Duan. Anything New York style is, I mean, that's where my heart is on pizza. I mean, you can find a good, true New York style pizzeria, jump on it. And basic is great. I mean, just some straight up pepperoni in that style. Delicious. And but
it's
Holly, the more I hear about the foodie talents in our creative circles, and learning that about Herschel, you know, being a baking expert, and I already know that Duan is a foodie and into the culinary arts as well. We need to do this in Imaginarium, have a bake off and have some kind of food thing, because that would benefit all of our attendees.
I love that.
We need to do something there.
I can't remember who said it, but someone was trying to get me to compete against Morgan Hazelwood and her meatballs. And I'm like, listen, people, I'm not trying to compete with anyone. First of all, how do y'all even know I cook? I don't even make meatballs. Like, why y'all trying to put me on the spot like that? That's not cool. But now, if she was to challenge me, I'd think about it. I think, like, but she does make pretty good meatballs. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that. They're famous. And I never got to try them yet. So you better believe, because she'll have to make them for Imaginarium next year, or she will be mauled by many people. Because that's all I hear is about Morgan. Meatballs.
That's why I went to the party, because Sabata was like, "Hey, you've got to go to this party and get some meatballs." And I'm like, okay,
"Well, you're gonna have to accompany me. We'll go. I'll go with you. We'll go. I want to try them meatballs."
I will make sure I find you. I'll tell Morgan.
Drag me off somewhere. Usually I'm with Jay running around, and we get in all kinds of antics. So I will try the meatballs first.
Right. Oh boy. trying to keep Jason in the control is is an adventure.
That
no,
is
Stephanie
an adventure all in its own right.
Stephanie says, I'm the devil on Jason's shoulder at Imaginary.
he doesn't need one. He doesn't need one.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't need one. But I do like this evolution of the room party suddenly having these top-tier spreads, because we've always talked about the Per Bostet Publications room party, so they have these amazing food spreads, and now I'm hearing about it happening at these other room parties. And, yeah, pretty soon, nobody's going to need to eat much coming into Imaginarium, because the room parties are going to be so fantastic.
You know what you do? You do like a late – do a late panel and just have everyone like just bring a dish, and then like we'll just like
there
I'll
you
Dutch
go.
It. I'll sign up for that.
Oh
I'll
yeah,
sign
I'll
that.
Sign up. I will too. That sounds good. Oh man,
just have Morgan bring some meatballs down. I forget which party it was. It's not even the Per Bostet party, but they have someone had some like really good spinach dip. That was killer. So,
I love spinach artichoke dip, and I make it.
There is some competition. There is a competition there.
Holly, get a hold of Paul Hollywood and see if they can do a one-off, like, Imaginarium Bake-Off special, like the Great British Bake-Off.
I don't even know Paul Hollywood, them beautiful blue eyes.
That would be awesome. But, I've been floored. Just in what I've experienced the last year or two and the cuisine at these room parties. I mean, it's really been going next level. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. I had not heard about Morgan's stuff, but that, it does not surprise me. So, yeah, that's going to be on my list for next year. That sounds good.
Oh, you guys would think I wrote a cookbook. All this food talk, you'd think I wrote a cookbook.
There you go. So what do you think was the most challenging going from like writing the cookbook or writing prose or poetry or, you know, everything that you wrote? What was the hardest burdens or battles you had to get over to do screenwriting? What was your biggest hurdles?
Format is one, because when you're telling a story, when you're going Once Upon a Time, there's an expert, there's kind of this, you just tell the story as it happens based on what you're writing, POV, things like that. But when you're doing screenwriting, there's a certain way you convey action happening. There's a certain way that you're conveying it. So when you're sitting down and you're writing it, you don't want to put too much here. You don't want to put not enough there. And it's a matter of a format. And if it's not formatted right, then people just ignore it. Formatting was my biggest thing. And beyond that, my short stories, I've never been like super detailed in description. I always try to keep things pretty like broad enough. Like it's detailed enough that you know what's happening, but it's never been like overpowered with detail. One of my favorite authors is Dan Brown. If you've read any of Dan Brown's books, Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, the sort, you know that he puts in a ton of detail and description of things, description of art pieces and ancient towns, and all, he goes so deep into it all. It all means something. There's a reason for him to put it in there. So, it's not like you're just wasting your time, but sometimes it's a lot to get through before you get to why it means something. For me, I try to avoid doing that, and I try to find like a happy medium. I have this analogy called the blue wall. And with the blue wall, when you're writing a story, you can say the wall is blue, right? You know the wall there, you know it's blue. Or you can say that the wall is an exquisite shade of topaz or whatever and go into unnecessary detail. Or, depending on the situation of the story, you may not even have to mention that the wall is actually there. Maybe if you just said you're indoors, you kind of assume the wall is present. So I've used the analogy of the blue wall to talk about how much detail is in the story. So my walls are moderately blue. And I think that when you're writing a screenplay, you have to put a bit more blue paint on that wall. Sometimes a couple different shades. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely does. Yeah, it's always a challenge sometimes for a prose writer to come over and write screenplays, because it's a very much a distilled writing form, you know, where you're really getting down to, you know, the key things that need to be, you know, to set the scene, and you know, definitely a heavier focus on dialogue rather than description up by far. And, you know, it's definitely a totally different style of writing. So, yeah, sometimes it's tough for a novelist to make that conversion over to it. But, yeah, because you have the temptation to want to put too much into it. But a good screenplay, I mean, yeah, actually has a very, very lean kind of vibe to it. And it gets really to the point quick.
Yeah, it gets to the heart of things, and that was one of the things I think me and Carol had actually talked about this at some point. And it's just like, when you go into writing screenplay, it's really just very basic. It's very lean. You know, you're like, you walk into a room, and there's a this, and then this happens, you walk here, you go there, you do this, you say that, and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like,
yep,
that's it. I don't have to say anything else. Everything else is in the dialogue, or, you know, some other person in the production process deals with that. And you're like, okay, well, what am I supposed to say? Cool. Versus everything is just on the page otherwise. And it's such a different way of shaping your brain when it comes to how to get your ideas out.
Yeah, I know Carol would have definitely some thoughts on that, because not only was she, you know, coming from the novel world, but she was also doing an adaptation of her novel, Homecoming to Murder.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was not only coming over from that style of writing, but also working with her own adaptation of her own novel. So she really had to definitely break out of that that mode of writing and go into the zone that you're talking about. So, yeah, it's not always easy, but, yeah.
That is the hard thing to do, because when I was trying to do the screenwriting, I was trying to practice. And so I wrote this short story series called Such Is Life. And I was trying to write episode one of Such Is Life as a screenplay, and that didn't get very far. I didn't get off the first page, the first little action box. I'm like, no, not yet. I can't convert it. Like, it's weird. It's like changing format. It's hard to convert. I kudos to anyone who's written their own adaptation. Kudos to Carol.
I once did an adaptation, not of my own novel, but I was brought aboard to take a nonfiction book and adapt it. And yeah, it's not an easy task. Yeah, to distill exactly what needs to go in to make a good narrative, you know, in a screenplay format, because of course books and film work differently, and you know, and so you have to find that nice little linear core, you know, that really helps a story flow in film. And not always easy. You know, that's why when I see something like Game of Thrones, you know, how it adapted with that, you know, very ensemble style of writing, you know, I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive, you know, to be able to jump all over the place and still keep the story flowing. But yeah, it's definitely a screenplay. Screenwriting is an art in itself. And that's a big reason why we, you know, really put a spotlight on it ourselves at the convention, because a lot of people, you know, don't appreciate screenwriting as much as maybe some of the other spheres of writing. But it's definitely definitely its own art, and you have to really work hard to master it.
Well, I think you can kind of lose yourself in some of your style when you do it. So if you've read Such Is Life, it's kind of comedic. It's intended to be sort of light and funny. So the story is about, it surrounds this kid named Zach, and Zach lives in this town called Kingston, and everyone is weird except for him. And the first episode involves him being at work, and then his boss gets into this really weird fight, and that sets the tone for the rest of the series. It's I don't even know how I came up with it, but when you're writing it in that, you know, once upon a time style, you can add your comedy and how you phrase things, how you do your description, how you you know, narrate, and some of that stuff gets lost in screenwriting, because unless you have a narrator actually saying something, none of it's equally conveyed on screen. So it's mm-hmm. you have to change so many other things up. It's a totally different thing,
right? Oh, it is, and great admiration for that. But what are just getting into more of your background? What are some of the filmmakers and or screenwriters specifically that have been ones that have influenced you, inspired you, or ones you really enjoy? And like I said, you can take either or filmmakers or screenwriters.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Wes Cato. So specific screenwriters and filmmakers, like, I guess you can say like Wes Craven. I do love Wes Craven. Scream was a very influential, and was it Kevin Williams, I think, wrote Scream.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had a chance to sit down with that script, and it's written really, really, really well. And to watch how the relationship between directors and writers, and how the director takes what's written and changes it's. I mean, you can't go wrong with Wes Craven. And then, of course, some of my favorite movies, like Back to the Future, and I'm really influenced by Back to the Future. The Bobs, and I can't remember their last name because I always remember them as the Bobs. Because there's two guys named Bob that worked on Back to the Future back in 85. And that movie has been a huge influence on me because I've sat down and read that script 1,000 times for Back to the Future Part 1. I've watched it a whole bunch of times. I think Barbara's in the Go Listen.
Sure.
I've watched Back to the Future Part 2 so many times in my life. And then she does this giraffe trivia every Tuesday. And she then had this question. She had this question about how, like, a giraffe appearance or some kind of giraffe thing in Back to the Future Part 2. Here I am, confident as all get out. Like, there's been no giraffe references in Hill Valley, California. There's been no giraffes in that movie. Boy, she set me straight. Set me straight. It was the skirt.
Awesome.
Just a skirt. It was giraffes on.
I've got to hear this story. I'll have to ask Miss Barbara to tell me about this.
Well, so
yeah, that would be.
She does the trivia, and it's just like Lorraine is wearing a skirt when she picks up her dress for the dance in Back to the Future Part 2, and there's giraffes on the skirt. And I've seen that movie 1,001 times, and I saw no giraffes. I've never seen a single giraffe.
Me neither.
So then she points it out. She puts the picture up. I'm like,
well, I'll be. A giraffe poodle skirt, she said.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it's one of those things that you would never, ever, ever notice unless, you know, your whole world revolves around giraffes. Which now mine does too, because I'm doing it. Because now I find myself, after that question, I find myself every Tuesday waiting for that trivia question. I'm like, I'm going to redeem myself. I'm going to redeem myself on giraffe trivia.
Now I'm going to start. I'm going to start watching for giraffe imagery in all films now, so I won't disappoint Barbara in the future. And the Bobs you're thinking of, by the way, are Michael Robert Gale, or Bob Gale, and Robert
Bob
Zemeckis.
I didn't want to say it wrong, but I knew
Bobs.
I saw it was Zemeckis, but Gale, yes. Gale and Zemeckis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's been fantastic. I think Tommy mentioned Serpent in the Rainbow. And completely underappreciated movie.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Because
that movie was so, so good.
There was no
mm-hmm.
giraffe, right? Or were there?
Were there giraffes?
I don't believe there was any giraffe in The Serpent in the Rainbow. But at the same time, I don't even know anymore. I can't even trust myself with that anymore.
I was going to say, are were they? We don't know.
Said there's no draft in Back to the Future Part 2, but I was wrong about that.
Well, I would have said that too, because I never noticed that. I just seen a poodle skirt.
I'm going to have to watch Lord of the Rings with more scrutiny now and see if any giraffes are in the background of that one.
I'm looking for giraffes everywhere. Barbara has me looking for giraffes everywhere now. Every movie I look for giraffes. Everywhere.
That's what happens.
They're everywhere.
You get to know Barbara and you start, your world starts centering on giraffes.
Oh, I know, Chad. I can see them. I see them in memes. I'll see news articles. And I always send it to her. There was one about, well, back, somebody found there's an albino giraffe. And they're like extremely rare. I had never heard of them nor seen them, but there's albinos pop up in anything. But it was so cool because it's just all white, And she said, she had somebody else had sent her that, and she had read the story about it. I forget where it was, but a complete albino giraffe, beautiful. Look it up, people. It's absolutely beautiful.
I got one. I'm gonna impress Barbara right now. The Last of Us. There's a scene where Pedro Pascal and the girl he's protecting run into some giraffes in an area that's in kind of like one of the decayed cities. Remember, Holly?
Movie?
The Last of Us, the zombie flick or series.
Okay.
With Pedro Pascal. You remember they run into the giraffes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are giraffes
she
in that
said
one.
She loves that scene. She loved that scene. Because I said that's like, she was talking about she's been to Africa and actually ate, with the giraffes, they would poke her head in and stuff. And that's what they did. And I said, oh, my gosh, it's like what Barbara Evers was talking about.
Yep. It was great. That was a great scene.
On our podcast.
Yeah, I didn't want her to think I didn't notice that.
That's the thing about me. There's almost so little about me to be cool, but I always find myself in either really cool situations or surrounded by really cool people. And I think that was kind of the influence of Such Is Life, because all this stuff happens with my main character, Zach. All the stuff happens around him, but none of the stuff is really actually happening to him. But he's having to interact in this world where all this crazy stuff's happening around him. There's like the crazy fight that his boss gets into, which puts him into a nervous breakdown. There is his friend goes missing. A whole bunch of stuff goes on with his mom. It's the whole thing. I've written 8 episodes of this, and they're all on my website.
Nice.
And that's
nice.
Kind of how my life is. That's how my life is. Like, everything happens around me. I remember you guys did the episode of Star Chamber shortly after Imaginarium, and there was like one episode where you talked to like 3 or 4 different people, and everyone had a story that involved me.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of happened to be around.
Yes.
Everyone had a story that happened.
That's true. That is true.
Like, everybody seen you or did something with you or had an experience at Imaginarium, and I'm like, this is hilarious. We talked about the Wednesday night, because we always get there Wednesday, to get things set up. Wednesday night, we had the Denny's trip. IHOP. Us three walked over to IHOP and had some dinner, and that was so much fun. And you helped us unload. Thank goodness you were there.
Oh, God. Yeah, thank God.
And of course,
that definitely helped.
And of course, like, I'm there with Carol, and Carol, I'm gonna tell you this. Like, so when the nominations came out and we were both listed as finalists, I saw Carol on there and I'm congratulating her, and she saw me on there and she's congratulating me, and then I'm encouraging her and she's encouraging me, and that really, like, the instant connection I've had with Carol has been like an amazing thing. It's always, I can always trust on her.
And what happened that night, or that Saturday night?
We both walked
you and Carol. You and Carol both walked up to the front.
That's right.
And it was great. Awesome. And I was so happy. And I was glad to be there. I was glad to be there to help with Baker. I was glad to be there to witness and encourage the chair throwing. I was
Oh, my God, yeah. The TBS.
That was great.
The famous chair throwing. Tommy and Barbara and, yeah, it set off a cascade of chair throwers at the reading.
After Barbara did it. It was fantastic. Tommy was reading, and it was fantastic. I told Jason, I'm going on there. I'm just going to put everybody over. Because everything comes back to wrestling. Since everything comes back to wrestling, there's a term for when one wrestler, does a job and helps get the other guy popular with the crowd. It's called putting them over. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go on this show. I'm just going to put everybody over. And so Tommy is about to read. He throws his chair, throws off everyone. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. This is
that was awesome. I was like, oh.
Tommy reads this amazing story.
I was there.
Tommy reads this amazing story. He picks the chair up. I had my camera with me, but I didn't think to record it. Because when Barbara goes next, she puts the chair in the chair. She goes, I'm not going to throw the chair. And I'm like, do it. Throw the chair. Because in my head, I'm picturing a whole wrestling match. I'm like, throw the chair. Get a table. It's great. And then she's like, you're going to throw a chair? Boom. And she throws the chair. And I'm just like, yes. The influence of the moon is dangerous. And I should not be allowed to be around other people or to influence with anyone, but I'm so thankful that I do. And it was a fantastic moment. And me and Barbara have talked since then. And me and Sandy have gotten closer since then. And, like, that was such a bonding moment for everyone.
It was spectacular. I actually was fortunate enough to see all this. I actually was out and about during that time, and I saw the Tommy and Barbara's readings, and I'm like, next year you're going to see like twice the audience at the readings now that word has gotten out about the chair throwing. Everybody's going to wonder what they're going to do this time.
If you see me walk in that room, I'm apparently very influential, and I never understood why. And I know I shouldn't. I know I never use my powers for good. So, if you see me walk into that room, beware of what I might encourage someone else to do.
Yeah, all we got to do is get Shrewsbury in on that, and you'd have just a spectacular show because Shrewsbury is known for doing these crazy things during readings. So, yeah, we need to get everyone together next year. Royal Rumble, WWE style.
Everything goes back to the swing.
Mm-hmm. Too much.
Again.
Yeah, you have a great interest in wrestling. So yeah, I'd love for you to share a little bit about that side of you because I noticed that a lot in some of the stuff you talk about and focus on. Yeah, your interest.
Well, one of the things I have coming up is hopefully if I can get everything together, is a new podcast called Moon Equals Wrestling. That's why the name on Blog Talk Radio changed, because I'm going to do the show here. And I love professional wrestling because it is everything a creative person could possibly want. It's the ultimate theater. You take away all the naysays about professional wrestling, all the stereotypes about professional wrestling, it's all theater. You have these athletes who are basically actors. They play a character. They have stories that they tell. They have to tell the story both through narration and through the actions in the ring. There's storytelling through a match. And if you watch enough professional wrestling, you can see how they'll tell a story in the ring. And it can be something as simple as 10-minute match. In the first 2 minutes of the match, one guy gets thrown out of the ring and lands weird on his leg. Right now his leg hurts. So now is the story of how can the guy wrestle on this leg? But then you know the character and you know that his finishing maneuver is a super kick. So now his leg hurts. How can he finish the guy off if he can't use his leg? So now the other guy is obviously aiming for the leg. And the other guy, the guy with the hurt leg, now has to change up everything. And he has to come from underneath and come from behind and try to overcome. And then you have things like championships and teams and whether the team is getting along. It's the ultimate theater. Then you have the entrances with the music, and then the music tells you everything. And you can have a character change by just changing their music. It's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. There's so many different layers to professional wrestling. And it's the ultimate theater. And that's why I love it so much. And funny thing, the expression that I use, everything comes back to wrestling. Because when you talk to me, I can almost turn everything and use an example from professional wrestling. And so I've said that so many times, everything comes back to wrestling. Jason was like, when are you going to put that on a t-shirt? So I did.
No kidding.
So you
there
did.
You
yes, you did. That's going to be a great
Which I wore last year. I wore it this year.
You did wear one. You did.
Get Carrie Canetsy in your podcast because she actually started her path to pro wrestling out of Imaginarium. She had talked to John Cosper for a while a couple of years ago, and that set her on mm-hmm. the road to where she is now, and she's actually competing. I mean, she really recently had some
cool
matches, and she's
doing
great. I am
so
great.
Proud of her.
It's awesome.
Can I talk to John last year? I talked to John last year. I talked to Carrie, met Carrie last year. We talked. We've been cool. Mm-hmm. There's actually another fun Carrie story. A story she's connected to. And when she started wrestling, she messaged me and told me about it. So the whole thing with her training, promo videos and stuff, she was sending me and updating me. I'm just like, I couldn't be more proud of her. She's doing mm-hmm. such a great job.
And oh, yeah. I watched the recent match, and she's fantastic, man.
She is. Well, the whole body transformation. I mean, Carrie was like my size at one time. And
you
look at her next to me now. I mean, my God. I mean, it's a whole transformation. She lost all that weight and turned it into muscle. I mean, she is
and
a
And now
turning
that muscle into a career, like a million-dollar machine. That's the million-dollar machine now. We have to respect her. That's what she calls herself. She's the million-dollar machine now.
Yep.
It's fantastic, and I love it. I am so happy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would love to talk to John. I have every intention of talking to Carrie.
Yeah. John's an encyclopedia for sure. Yeah, he's got a lot of good books out on wrestling. Yeah, I love John.
Yeah,
Cosper.
We met on Twitter.
Great guy. Yeah.
We had actually met on Twitter, and then we were both coming to Imaginarium, so I met him in person at Imaginarium, not this year, but last year.
Right. Yeah, he had a schedule conflict or something this year that prevented him from coming, but I think he's clear for next year as far as I know. But, yeah, he's fantastic, and, yeah, there's so many good books on wrestling, we had him on the show talking about that. But, yeah, that's it's so cool how the synergy happened with him and Carrie, and then Carrie moving on to, you know, doing what she's doing now, and now she's on the road in professional wrestling. And wow, I mean, just cool. I mean, and yeah, she's so fun.
I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, she helps at our award ceremonies. The last 2 years, she's helped give out the awards. And, yeah, she just has such a presence. I mean, she's got amazing physicality. I mean, yeah, just a real presence. And this year she sat with Shrewsbury. So that was like just the dynamic duo, those two sitting together out in Creighton.
We have show. There's this running pun that also stemmed from an Imaginarium panel that you guys had, not this year, but last year. There was a presentation you guys had. It was a nerd's guide to erotica.
I remember creating that one with my helper, yes.
Not my genre. I don't write it. I don't read it. But my friend did. And so she wanted to go to that panel. So we went to the presentation, and if you ever get that, I forgot what her name was. But if you ever get her back, I'm going to go to every single thing she does because that panel was hilarious. It was fantastic. And she started it off by reading, it was a passage from something called Winkler by Giles Cohen, right? And it's this annoying, long run-on sentence. It's I can't describe it. It's a family show. And
not really.
I know. It's funnier if I say it's a family show. But so it's so wrong on so many different levels. Like, it doesn't even inaccurately descriptive, but it's a whole bunch of mess, and it ends with the phrase, like Zorro. So like me and Sela and a couple of people who are in this
presentation. Oh, I remember now. I know what you're talking about.
We're in this presentation, and so we just kept looking at each other like Zorro, because it's funnier. Okay, so if anyone's going to go find it, it's Giles Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. It's from a passage called Winkler. Just look up like Zorro in Google, and you'll find it. And then when you find it, read it. But don't just read it. Read it out loud. Like, I want you to verbalize the sentence. Because it really is like a run-on sentence. It's funnier if you try to say it out loud because your brain's trying to make sense of it and it can't. So when I'm like, I want to commemorate this event on a T-shirt, because I sell T-shirts on my website.
Nice.
So it literally just says, blah, 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 like Zorro. And it's the funniest T-shirt.
Nice. And to give credit to the presenter of that workshop, that would be Jen Barnes. Yes, she's awesome.
This is with JB. I knew it was JB, but I knew I was going to get the name wrong. Jen Barnes.
Jen Barnes.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. So if you get her back, I'm going to watch anything she does, because that was fair.
Oh,
yeah. She didn't have a slideshow, and I kind of wish she did. It was a better sex ed class than my sex ed class. It really was.
Yeah, she's a very, very good writer too, and I hope she's able to make it in 2024. Every year, some people can make it, some people can't, but I hope she definitely comes back.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, because she definitely gave some great stuff in the programming.
I would tell these people that panel. They enjoyed it so much. They had so much fun. Everybody did.
Well, what ended up happening, and I feel bad for her for a second, because she reads that as an example of bad erotica. And then before she can continue with the rest of her presentation, I'm sitting here trying to watch from the back, because again, I'm just kind of here as an observer. Everyone's like, wait a minute, hold on, one more time. What? It doesn't work that way. And there's a whole, for like 15 extra minutes, we've taken over discussing how just insane that passage was. And then, of course, she's trying to explain how erotica is written inaccurately. So as it's being written inaccurately, she's like, well, let's just talk about what the parts are, what the parts do, how they interact, talk more about kinks and all this, that, and the third. And so it was a very informative class that if you wrote this genre, that it would be a super helpful course. But
and it was entertaining for everybody else.
But when you set the tone with such an insanely written passage, off the rails from the jump. And I'm like, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here for it. This
yep.
wild.
And there's a reason why that – there's a reason why that one is 18 and up. Yes.
Oh,
very,
oh, yeah.
Very vivid panel.
Yeah, I did that 18 and up for a reason.
lots of very detailed content.
But like but I said, you know, just like with Zach, you know, Zach was based off me very briefly to a point. And again, while all this stuff happens around me, none of it happens to me. None of this stuff is about me. All the stories that we've told this whole time, none of these things are like ultimately about me. And that's kind of my life. All this stuff happens around me, and I am a sponge to absorb the stories and the events that happen around me. And that's kind of like the biggest influence to all of my writing, is I see something happen around me. Or I hear of a situation that happened to, like, this person, or I witness something happen to that person. And I'm like, well, what would happen if it happened a different way? What would happen if the story, if the person went left instead of going right? A friend of mine works with children who are, like, wards of the state, and she was telling me the situation that happened to one of the kids that they were about to take in. And I'm hearing this scenario, and I'd rather not go into it just because of the nature of it. But I was thinking about the situation. I'm like, I can only imagine what's happening with that kid's family. And if you hear that the person with the accusation is actually innocent, how do you emotionally to normal from that position? And, you know, I was just having that conversation earlier today. And, like, that's something I've been, like, spinning in my head all day. And I'm like, can I write this? Can I write this? Can I write this? And, you know, it was very similar last year. Earlier this year, I guess, this summer when I was at Imaginarium, it was me, it was a whole bunch of people in the car. It was me, Morgan, Sacco, Sabata, S.A. Bradley, all in the car getting ice cream. And that's an adventure on its own, right? You can just picture the five of us going to go get ice cream.
That's hilarious.
And
that's a crew.
Oh, boy, is it. And Morgan's telling this story about how she once was at work and some coworker, like, was supposed to go here, but they went there and basically, like, kidnapped her for a date. And I'm like, I'm looking around. Now, mind you, I'm in a car full of horror writers. And I'm just kind of looking around at everyone like, is anybody else going to write this? No? You're not going to? Okay. I'll do it. Okay, I'll write it. Yeah, cool.
Nice.
So I have this project I'm working on called Coworker Lunch Date, where someone is supposed to go for lunch and they end up getting kidnapped. It's in the works.
Nice. That is screenplay or prose?
Again. Screenplay.
Screenplay.
That's the screenplay I was working on before Companion. Companions, I put it down so I could work on Companion. Companions are, it's the Hollowed Hills, it's the next project for Hollowed Hills.
Nice.
It's in the same universe as screenplay or screenshots. So we're taking that same universe and we're creating a companion piece called Companion.
Nice. Hence the title.
That one, hence the title. Well, it's twofold because it's a companion to screenshots because it's in the same universe, but it's about a guy who is seeking out a particular companion. I won't give too much away yet because I haven't written it. So
nice.
So he's seeking this person as a companion, and him, you know, so the whole thing is in the works now. So we hope to have that written in the next couple of months. And I think we're looking at hopefully filming spring, late winter, early spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the project that Thomas Moore was talking about.
Nice.
So if things work out, we're going to try to get Thomas to be the director on that piece. And we got a location. We've been scouting this location out. Shout out to Tyrant Toys because they're going to let us use their shop. They got a really great space in the basement. We just shot a commercial for them. We're doing some pretty cool stuff.
Very nice. Very nice. And, yeah, and speaking of the channel, Hallowed Hills Entertainment, yeah, you guys almost have 100 subscribers already to the channel, but I see I just pulled up the page. I was wondering if maybe we'd go over 10,000 right during the show. That would have been awesome. But, yeah, still there over 9.5K. But, yeah, it's let me see. It's Hallowed Hills ENT, folks. If you want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, it's Hallowed Hills ENT. And, yeah, you can find that at YouTube. But definitely come aboard. Yeah, you'll find they only have screenshots up on their videos, so it'd be easy to make sure it's the right one. But yeah, definitely add them.
We're gonna have a behind the scenes video here shortly. I was just putting that together late last week. While we were shooting the kill scene, because of our props, we only had like one shot at it. We had one shot of pulling this off, the kill scene.
Oh, man.
And
oh, man.
So we're like, okay, are we ready? Is this it? Are we in position? Do you have your mic on? Is the camera running? Is everything lined up? We've got one shot at this. So because we had one shot of this, I decided to take my camera and I put it up in the corner. So I got to record us filming the kill scene. So now that I have that, mm-hmm. I'm going to put it together, and then we're going to probably put that up here next week or so.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Hey, since you're nearing 100 subscribers now at Hallowed Hills, make them give you another pizza party when you had 100 subscribers.
That's right.
Add that to the list, because I think that's worthy, too.
I'm going to make John pay for it. I'm like, I told John mm-hmm. earlier today, I'm like, hey, you, as long as we have a business meeting, you can write this off. It's fine. Like, it's cool. Just
you can. It's all
have a meeting,
all right,
and then you can write it all off. It's fantastic.
He can do that. That's not a problem. But, yeah, so hopefully that'll convince him to give you another pizza party there. But, yeah, I want to do my part to help you get some
more
pizza parties. Yeah. Or tacos.
Or
yeah.
Tacos. Tacos.
And we just had a new taco truck go up in the neighborhood here, so we're definitely tuned into that. So, but we're coming up on about 9 minutes into the show. So what I want to do is maybe get into a little bit about you've talked about Companion, and you know, it's the film with that Thomas More had referenced and some of the things like that. What else do you have in store coming up, either project wise or event wise?
There's so many, and I don't even know how I'm keeping it all together because I forget about half of them. Okay, so I'm working on a piece that I for myself called Coworker Lunch Date. I would love the opportunity to at least submit that somewhere whenever it's finished. Filming it would be great, but it's kind of complicated because it can be. There's Companion. Companion will hopefully be filmed in the spring. It's in the same universe as Screenshots. Beyond that, I have a podcast, and I'm trying to get some interviews lined up for that one. It's called The Moon Unscathed. The Moon Unscathed is basically, it's a free space for people to talk about whatever people feel needs to be talked about. There was a controversy over some music videos recently, and I discussed one of those. I had an interview with a friend of mine who did real estate. She answered some questions about that. So there was an interview there. I have one that I want to line up about co-parenting, because there's a lot of ups and downs and back and forths when it comes to the idea of co-parenting. I think Holly's son, Noah, I have a crazy job, and I would love to interview him. So I'm aligned with him at some point.
He would love that.
Have every intention of interviewing him. And honestly, I love doing interviews, I've recently found out. So I'm down for interviewing next to anybody about anything. And that's the thing. I think there's so many conversations that there are in the world to have, and people just need a place to have them, an open, comfortable, no judgment zone to have these sometimes fun, sometimes strange, sometimes controversial conversations. And I'm all down for all of it with no censorship, no editing, just you talk, I talk, let's talk. Beyond that,
Noah would be the perfect person, because my son Noah is very outspoken, and he's very he has controversial views. I'll tell you that. You want somebody that has views, he'll tell you the honest
truth.
I'll
give him all day.
I'll
give him all day. I'll give him a part one, part two if he wants to. I'll give him all day. Let's go.
Yeah, don't put him
the
as
new
a
one.
King or president of a country. That'd be very dangerous.
Well, you can't put me in charge of anything either. We've already discussed my influence on people. I can't. I can't be in charge of anything either. I can't.
You'd have a whole nation throw.
It'll be
you'd
fun.
Have a whole nation throwing chairs. If Moon became president,
that is,
there'd be a chair throwing
that is correct.
Epidemic.
All chairs. We're throwing all of them.
Hey, Miss Sandy Linder said she's down for an interview. She'll converse with you.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
And she's
in
a good one.
Because I love to talk to people. And it's amazing because everyone's got stories. Everyone has a story. Everyone has an influence. There's always a thought that's running through someone's head that they've never been able to, like, really find a safe place to get out. I want to be that safe place. Very quick before I get to the rest of the stuff. In 2020, there was a lot of people who just did not know what side of a multitude of issues that they were on. And so I was always saying, you know what? We'll do a lot better as a nation if people would just meet each other. We're not as different as we think we are. If we just sat down and talked to each other and met each other and understood each other and tried, we'd be in a whole better place as a society.
So true.
That's all I'll say on that.
So true. Absolutely.
But like I mentioned
absolutely
before,
noticed the same thing. Same thing. I've noticed the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to start that show, just so I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of
it.
Course, I love wrestling. I love professional wrestling. So a conversation where I can discuss the ins and outs, those kind of theater points about professional wrestling. No one wants to listen to me talk about this guy won this match on Monday and this guy won that match on Friday. I'm not doing any of that. But there are some other issues, like, you know, there's a conversation right now in professional wrestling about women's wrestling and how that's not given the same fair chance as wrestling amongst men. So I would love to have a conversation about that with someone, you know, with wrestling fans. And that's the kind of thing I want to talk about on Moon Eagles Wrestling, because everything
cool.
comes back to wrestling, hence the shirt.
Everything comes back to wrestling. You got
everything
it.
Comes back to wrestling. Then, of course, I have all the writings that I've done previously on DwanElHearn.com. There is all 8 parts of Such Is Life. I had a commission job at one point where I got commissioned to write 4 short stories for my friend David. So those 4 are on the website. He allowed me to retain the rights for those. Some of those might get turned into scripts at some point. That's the Copper Week collection. That's online. I don't like to write poetry, but periodically a poem comes out. And so the website has a few poems as well. So there's all kinds of stuff that I've got going on and dancing around my head and happening around me. Like I said, we just filmed this commercial for Tyrant Toys. We have a whole bunch of other stuff going on. It's a lot.
So, yes.
I feel
so
super
that's great segue for what I'm going to ask you next. We have about 2 minutes left. But where do folks connect with you to follow all these awesome things? Where do you want people to go to find you, to connect online, that kind of thing?
Number one place would be DwanElHearn.com. I'll spell it for you. It's DWA.com. Everything I do is connected and center hubbed there. You can find me on all the socials at DLHearnWrites. DL Hearn Writes is the handle. My email is dlhearnwrites@gmail.com. You can always contact me there about literally anything. I'm always down to listen. I'm always down to talk. I'm always down for a project. I've learned to say yes. You know, in creative spaces, just say yes.
Absolutely. And, just real quick, I was going to give a shout out to Ken Michaels and Renmillion. See, they joined us in the chat room as well. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, Dwan. And first of many times to come, of course, and always great to chat with you and have you and around and definitely want you back. So thank you, man.
Absolutely. It's been fun, and I can't wait to be another bad influence next year.
You will.
Yes, definitely.
So, Holly, over to you.
Well, thank you for coming on. And, yes, you and Jay got to get your butts down here and visit us for a bonfire and some good eats. And definitely. And then everybody join us next Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same time. Rest of the week, be creative. Night, all.